So welcome to Tech Talk Thursday, Season 4, Episode 10. This week, we're going to take a closer look at the revolution in component storage systems that has pervaded the factory floors in recent years. Bob Black was one of the primary proponents of storage towers in the United States in his previous capacity as President and CEO of Juki Americas. He joins me now in his new position as Head of US Sales for Isagi Systems. Hello, Bob. Nice to see you today.
Trevor, always great to see you. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, well, you know, we're trying, keeping safe in England here, but looking forward to getting back across to the United States as soon as things open up a bit. So anyway, let's get into the topic we're going to talk about today, which is the storage systems. And you've got a very deep knowledge of these. As I said in my intro, you are definitely one of the early pioneers of the storage systems, certainly, especially in the Americas. So what do you think sparked the drive for storage systems? Was it the first step on the Industry 4.0 journey to know what you had and where it was, or was it simply a step to reduce machine downtime?
It's both, Trevor, actually. You know, having your components well organized and knowing exactly what you've got and where it is at all times is key to keeping your inventory lean. And one thing we've seen with a lot of companies is they were greatly overstocked on parts. And the reason they were overstocked is because they couldn't find some of the parts they had in stock. They were in bin boxes sitting around or hadn't been put back to stock yet, or so forth. And so one company, an OEM up in Vancouver, Canada, they actually were able to reduce their inventory from 8.5 million to 5 million, just because they knew what they had and they knew where it was and it was well organized. So, I mean, when you can free up 3.5 million of cash in a company and not reduce your production capability, that's a good value.
It certainly buys a few storage towers, doesn't it?
Indeed it does.
So do you think the current supply chain shortages that we're going through are going to drive EMS companies away from the just-in-time model and back towards binge buying and overstocking of critical components? Or how do you see that playing out? Because it's a major problem.
I do think that you do see some binge buying and some, pack rat behavior of buying extra even when you don't immediately need it, because you will need it eventually. But this will go away in a year or so. And in the long term, I think companies are driving towards the most efficient manufacturing possible. And so having your inventory well organized and knowing where it is at all times and knowing how much you have and being able to keep the line supplied. I mean, we say the basic tenet of why storage towers is our job is to make sure material is available and present at the place where it's needed at the time it's needed at all times.
Okay.
So that means the lines don't wait for material. The lines are able to run and you get the full capability out of your production lines possible because you don't have material shortages or material delay.
It's very true. I mean, it's you go into a lot of factories and you see a lot of machines sitting idle. You know, right? The amount of machine downtime is considerable in our industry. So any way of reducing that is certainly welcome. So if you made a decision to invest in storage systems, then so what are the key considerations you would be looking for out of these systems? Is it the size? Is it the capacity or the speed of delivery? Software integration, what are the key things you would be looking at?
Well, I think if we look at the two or three top things to look at, customers want organization, number one. They want their inventory organized and well-managed. They want to save space, number two. One of the advantages of most storage towers is we'll save about 70% of floor space versus shelving. So we can put a lot more components in a lot smaller space. And that, you know, space is expensive these days. And so that can prevent a company from moving, for instance, building a new building. We had one customer in Germany where we were able to reorganize their inventory, and they avoided building a new building for several years because of the space savings. And to have their inventory and all their component information fully integrated into their business management software, their ERP, MRP systems. These are all advantages. And now in the pandemic, probably the fourth one is labor savings. The fact that the towers can pull the kits and the operator only needs to be present to when they're finished to take the kits out. So and with our new AGV-driven automated systems, the operator doesn't even have to be there. The AGV comes and picks up the parts and delivers them where they're needed. So I think these are the four main areas.
Right. Well, one of the things that you mentioned just before we started, we came on air today, was that the way that this software integrates with some of the systems, it can actually recognize at the end of a reel and send a signal to pull the next reel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, all the major placement systems, so Fuji, Panasonic, ASM, Juki, Yamaha, have the ability for what we call a low reel warning. That is, the engineer can set a warning that if there's 10 minutes of parts left, or if there's 500 parts left, or whatever measure they want to use, the system will give a warning. Now, ordinarily, that warning would go to an operator or a line controller, right? And they would say, oh, we need more parts here, and they would do something. But what we can do, being hooked up to these systems with a direct interface, is we can receive that warning. We can interrupt in one of the towers whatever we're doing, pulling a kit or putting away a kit. We can pull another reel of that part and have it immediately available and delivered to that line. In fact, it'll say right on the screen, this is needed on line 2, machine 2, feeder 23. And the reel can be there several minutes before it runs out, so it can be spliced into the existing reel, or a feeder can be loaded and it can be hot swapped as it runs out, thereby saving the downtime of the line. Because what happens if the reel runs out is the line will try to continue running as long as it can with other parts, but eventually it needs that part to complete a board. So then it will stop and wait. And the whole line will eventually stop and wait. And, you know, you've got a million-dollar line sitting waiting for parts. That's not an efficient use of capital.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. One of the other big trends in the industry, of course, is the component counters. But do you think, should component counters be incorporated into storage towers? Or is it a bit like having a 3-in-1 printer?
Well, since you say you're going to be hopping over the channel to Prototronica in a few weeks, stop by the Aseji booth and you'll see it already done. We've integrated the Nordson Assure counter already into our automation system, and we can actually count parts when they come into the tower, or we can even cycle count. So let's say in third shift, you don't have much to do. You just give the system a list of the parts you want counted. It will count them overnight. And the next morning when you come in, you'll have the updated values already. So we do it with Nordson now, but we've also started to work with several other component counter companies to do it. And we already, with most component counters, we already are software linked. So even if it's a freestanding unit, we can get the information, the updated counts from the various unique IDs that it's the reels that have gone through it. And we can update the inventory based on that. So Yeah, component counters have a good place, and come by and see the automated one. It's really
I'd like to see that. That's certainly an interesting combination, the Nordson Assure system. Just lastly, what new technologies are you seeing coming down the pipe? I mean, where are we going next with storage systems and the integration of these into factories?
Well, for large enterprises, either large EMS enterprises or even large OEM military suppliers, that type of thing, we see a further automation in that we're using automatic intelligent vehicles or automatic guided vehicles to transport the components automatically from the towers to the setup area or to the sometimes directly to the lines. And that seems to be growing. And we've designed our towers so that they're modular in that if you buy one tower today as a standalone, that can still be a part of a fully automated system, you know, several years in the future as your business grows towards that. So, we've had that for a number of years, but not too many people have taken us up on it. The last year and a half, we've seen a tremendous growth in companies towards automating the transport of the components. And I don't know whether it's connected to the labor shortages created by the pandemic. It's just hard to hire people these days, or it's for improved efficiency inside the factory. But, you know, when you see a factory the size of about three or four city blocks square, and you see about 50 or 60 AGVs zooming around, in the back, it's quite impressive. And, again, the theme of getting the material to the right place at the right time to run your factory efficiently, the AGV can be built into that system too. And of course, it takes some management software where, you know, make sure there's an AGV where it's needed at the right place at the right time. But all of that has been managed. So that's a trend we see growing rapidly.
Yeah, so I'd imagine putting AI into these AGVs is must be quite a job, I'm sure. But rather than programming them to do a definitive thing, they have to use onboard intelligence to be able to maneuver a bit more.
And don't forget safety. I mean, you can have an AGV zooming down an aisle, but if somebody steps out, you don't want to hit them.
Of course.
So there have to be really intelligent safety systems in the AGV as well. So, it's a growing trend, and we see it growing more in the next few years.
Definitely. Well, we're certainly heading in the direction of that lights out factory. I'm sure, or I'm hoping that we're going to see it sometime in our future.
Well, if it's dark enough, we probably won't see it. But anyway, we'll know it's there.
Bob, it's always great to catch up with you. Thank you for coming in and joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Trevor.
Great interview there with one of the stalwarts of the industry, Mr. Bob Black. So if you're interested in the topics we discussed today and, in fact, some of the other technologies that follow on from it, please join us next Tuesday for our panel discussion, Automating the Materials Flow Within the Factory. We've got four or five, actually, fantastic guests next week, and we will be debating that very vigorously next Tuesday on our panel discussions. So be sure and log on for that. Until then, this is Trevor Galbraith saying thanks for joining us for yet another Tech Talk Thursday.
Global SMT and Packaging opens the windows of the world to bring you the latest news and technologies from Munich, from Bangalore, from Shanghai, from San Diego.